Good morning. Gordon, you want to come and introduce me again? We're going to start all over. I'm just kidding. All right. Good morning. I'm joking. I'm glad that you were willing to do it. Well, that was really bad. Oh, goodness. Welcome, each one of you. Welcome, all of you who are live streaming. I am really happy to be here this morning. I am grateful for this beautiful day. I was driving home from work this morning and was driving. It was kind of cool. I took a bunch of pictures while driving, probably not very safe, but driving through fog and everything and seeing it clear off and just hanging high on the mountains yesterday. The station that I'm at, I think I've probably got the best view in the valley. The farthest east for now, farthest east station in my department, and from right outside of our bays where we park all of our fire trucks and everything, you can look and see all the Superstition Mountains all the way down, and then it runs all the way off until you can't see it any farther off towards way past Florence and all that. And it's beautiful, and it'll only be probably, I would assume, it's been every year thus far we get some snow on those mountains and everything. But this morning it was socked in with fog, but yesterday there was just clouds hanging up high on the Superstitions. It was beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. The rain was wonderful. It was just a very nice time. And it's a wonderful time of year. This morning it feels for Phoenix rather Christmassy. And so I'm really happy. I'm happy because I feel like this obviously isn't the last sermon, the last Sunday of this year, but it's close. And when I draw this to a close, I just have some things I want to share about that. But I just think we've had a blessed year. I think we really have. And I'm grateful to be able to come today to celebrate Jesus Christ with you. And that's what I want to spend just a little bit this morning doing. And I have some thoughts here. Throughout, I don't know, quite a few years, Stephen, until he moved, was always the guy who got the holiday sermons. And it was kind of a running joke when we were scheduling. They would have Mother's Day or Father's Day, whatever it was. It was always Stephen's. And I haven't preached a Christmas sermon in a while. And I was thinking about it earlier this month. And I had some thoughts and kind of a way I wanted to present this old story of the gift of Jesus Christ. I want to just begin, and I want to just have us remember really what the gift of Christ was about. This is a picture, probably not as good on that, all blown up as big as this, but kind of a cool picture, I think, showing the kind of the fulfillment of this gift of Jesus Christ that we believe in. We believe that he came. We're going to celebrate. We've been celebrating this month and tomorrow, this time where his birth was promised and prophesied of, and it was looked forward to and anticipated. He came as a child and all these cool things, a beautiful story. And yet that story wasn't fully beautiful until, not even the crosses that we see there, but until the 3 days after. That was when it really became beautiful. That was when the full story was told and the real beauty was seen. But I don't want us to ever forget about this. It's every Sunday or every Christmas Sunday, we say the same thing, you know, not to think about presents and all of these sorts of things. Remember what it's about. And this is just something I think is really important. We're talking in Sunday school, and Jared was talking about how, you know, throughout time, the Catholic Church and all these, they just took all these events that were already celebrated and they stuck a Christian meaning to it and all that. And but, you know, I'm grateful for this one. All of Christianity and, you know, through the Bible and these things, and we're going to talk about this near the end, but I'll just say it now. There are these things that the Lord put into place so that we would remember. So we would remember. I don't believe Christ was born at this time of year. Doesn't make any sense to me. I don't believe it, but I'm glad for this time of year. It should draw us to remember. So much of what the gospel is the Lord trying to encourage us to do these things to remember. And so I just want us to remember that today. This is the biggest, most perfect, wonderful blessing of all, Jesus Christ. Nothing better. Nothing greater. And I have underlined here that Jesus is our gift. You know, I was thinking, as I'm thinking about this earlier this month, I was thinking about gifts. And my wife, her birthday was earlier this month, and I got her a gift. And we're at that point in our marriage, it's very difficult to just give random gifts to each other. My wife has never been good at that. I've never been able to guess something that she wanted. And I'm pretty difficult too, because stuff I want, I buy. So we probably ruin a lot of the surprise of it. We pre-plan our gifts. Anyway, I got her a gift. She wanted a new watch. She wanted a new smartwatch. And so got this smartwatch, and she's, you know, this probably hasn't figured it out completely yet. There's all of these things with a smartwatch. I like stupid watches. I don't want a smartwatch. I got an old stupid one with an hour and a minute hand. I don't want any of this stuff to get text messages or anything like that. But this watch I got her, it does everything. Does everything. And you know, I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about, you know, that her watch would be just about useless without this kind of lengthy how-to guide and this manual of what it does and all that. And it's really important. We tomorrow, or maybe tonight if some of you do it, whatever, you open some of these gifts that you get each other. And a lot of these gifts come with backstories and things. So Christmas time in the fire department, it's typically, usually, crews will talk about it ahead of time if they're going to give gifts to each other. We didn't talk about it this year, and I showed up, and there was a bunch of gifts on my bed at work, and so I scrambled. But fortunately, I keep a pretty good stock of honey at work, and I was thinking about this. Gifts come with backstories, you know. Probably earlier this year, maybe it was last year, Katie Ely designed a super cool logo for my honey, because everybody wanted to know the backstory to my honey. I think I've told this before. I'll tell it real quick. I was having a conversation. We were talking. Everybody talks about, like, a beekeeper is very unusual, and so I get a lot of questions about it. They're asking about honey, and I was talking about how once my Uncle Joel had come back from, I think, Oregon with some honey, and the bees were pollinating blueberry fields. And you taste the honey, and it has a little taste of blueberry, and it's beautiful. And several years ago, there was a bee festival here locally, and they had a whole booth that was set up, all these different types of honey you could taste. And there was bees that had gotten honey from carrot fields, and it tasted a little bit like carrot, but it was really good, all that sort of stuff. So I talked about that, and my crew said, well, what do you keep your bees on? And I said, well, I keep my bees in my uncle's junkyard. And so we named it Yates's Junkyard Honey. And if you haven't seen the logo, Katie did an awesome job. It's the coolest thing about my honey, and everybody loves it. It's a bee driving a tow truck. Super cool. And, you know, a lot of times a gift means more with a backstory. Someone explains what it's for, and you realize, well, you know, such and such a person got tired of freezing when he went out hunting, so he got his own flock of sheep and decided he was going to shear them and make wool socks for himself, and he decided I can make a business of it. Backstory is important. If you're considering the blessing and the fullness and the purpose of a gift. Instruction manual, I already talked about that, and the explanation of the benefits. You know, Rebecca and her watch, it's got all these different things, you know, and explains, well, it's important that every 20 or so minutes, if you're just sitting still, you need to get up and move. And so it tells her to get up and move, and it does all this sort of stuff. There's all these benefits to it, and this is what's important. And this gift of Jesus Christ is particularly special and particularly unique. And I have here underlined, it's perfectly broken. Perfectly broken. On Tuesday, Amazon is going to be flooded with returns for gifts that weren't what they wanted, it didn't fit, or they showed up broken because the Amazon delivery guys decided to pitch them like a baseball and all that sort of stuff. And yet the gift of Jesus Christ was meant to be broken and perfect because of the brokenness. It's part of this backstory. I'm going old school today. I'm going to be using my books. I have the scriptures written up here. I'm going to ask you to turn to them. I am going to have some audience participation today. But I want to start this backstory of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you that this gift of Jesus Christ has an amazing backstory and one that has been tracked throughout time for thousands of years. It was a promise that was first given many thousands of years. And so I'm just going to start here in Genesis. And this is after Adam and Eve. They made this mistake. They were going to be pitched out of the garden. And God wasn't, he was disappointed, but he loved them. And he provided for them. And he gave them promises. Even though you're going to go, life is going to be different. But he gave them a promise. And it was this promise that he gave to Eve. And he made this statement in Genesis, the third chapter in 15. And this is this first promise of Jesus Christ. And he says to, he's talking to the serpent here as he had just talked with, as he's getting ready to talk to Eve and Adam. He's still talking to the serpent. And he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He says, I'm going to put a separation between you and her, between you and mankind. And that separation is going to bruise your head and bring you down. And this first promise that there was a power to deceive and to cause mankind to struggle that was going to be stymied, was going to be stopped, was going to be forbidden. And so we're going to jump to Genesis 22nd chapter. And here we see this promise that was given to Abraham. After he had fulfilled these things, the Lord was asking him, how much do you love me? You know, are you willing to do the things that I ask? I'm going to ask hard things of you. And are you willing to? And this was this account of Abraham and Isaac and what happened there on the hill where he was asked to go and sacrifice your son. And of course, he didn't do that. The Lord provided, but he wanted to see, do you love me, Abraham? And so I'm going to read here. This is after the culmination of this. The Lord blessed Abraham, and then he's speaking to him. And he says in verses 15 through 18 of Genesis chapter 22, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, as not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. In multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And so he tells Abraham, from your children, your family, there is going to be a blessing that is going to bless the entire earth. This was a promise that was given, written down, recounted over and over again throughout the years. We go to the book of Isaiah. And here in the book of Isaiah, I'll read 14 through 16. If you read this, this is the Lord, by way of Isaiah, speaking to the kings at the time. And there was all of these things that were going on, and there was war about to happen and concerns of all of that. And the Lord says, ask a sign of me. He says this to this king, ask a sign so that you know whether or not I'm real. And the king says, I'm not going to tempt the Lord. And so Isaiah says, all right, this is what the Lord says. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A sign that he is true, that he is real. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both of her kings. And so he makes this promise, and he says there is going to be a Savior who is born of a virgin. And he is going to be righteous and holy. But before he comes, there's not going to be these kings here on this land. I'm going to turn to Micah chapter 5, and then we're going to continue on. But I want us to remember here that these things were promised from a long time. This gift that is precious, precious to each one of us, promised. Here in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, that thou, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler of Israel, whose goings forth from everlasting. And this promise that from Bethlehem there was going to be a ruler that was going to come, and his life was going to change everything. This is part of this backstory. And it continues. This word, this promise, this explanation of a Savior, who he was, what he was to do, what his benefits and blessings would be, it was given to all of the world. And this scripture right here, I have it cited in the Book of Mormon. I did it for a purpose. This is from the Book of Isaiah. But this is, and we believe this to be true, that the people who came here that the Lord sent away from Jerusalem, you know, we know that that history shows that Israel was scattered and they were sent all over the place. It was just as was that promise that, you know, before Christ was born, there weren't going to be any kings. Kings were going to be scattered. And those people of Nephi, they had the word of Isaiah. The Lord knew that they needed it. And so here Nephi is quoting it. He's writing it and he's sharing this with his family because this is important. That you would look forward to a Savior. And so here in verse 66, I'm going to read, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And the Lord sent his word unto Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel." And so it was important that all mankind were supposed to know that there was going to be a perfect gift that was going to be given. And we see here that the need for this gift of Jesus Christ was also openly shared and spoken about. And so we're going to read about this because this is important. A gift that you don't know its purpose for or how to use it, we end up doing what? We get rid of it, we pass it on, we throw it in the closet. This gift is for all mankind and with a purpose, Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to read here in 2 Nephi chapter 11, verses 45 through 48. As Nephi says, he's talking about, and he's writing it down here because he knows that in the future people are going to read it. He says, "I want you to know that we believe in Jesus Christ, just as was prophesied for thousands of years, and we also understand why he is this important and perfect gift. Notwithstanding, we believe in Christ. We keep the law of Moses and look forward with steadfastness unto Christ until the law shall be fulfilled. For this end was the law given. Wherefore the law hath become dead unto us, and we are made alive in Christ because of our faith. Yet we keep the law because of the commandments. We talk of Christ. We rejoice in Christ. We preach of Christ. We prophesy of Christ. And we write according to our prophecies that our children might know to what source they may look for a remission of their sins." This gift that was going to be given was to be for a remission of sins. For when you have found yourself sideways with God, that Jesus Christ would take ownership of that sin. That he would forgive that sin. And that you could be whole before God the Father. So I've given you a little bit of backstory, but there's an even more important and a beautiful backstory here that I want to read. And the birth of our Savior is beautifully told in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. And we're going to read that, but I'm not going to read that. I'm not going to read that because this is a scripture reading that, in my opinion, needs to be read by a grandpa. Has to have the right voice for it. And so I'm so glad that our brother Bob Oldham is here today because he has lovingly, no, not yet. He has lovingly been volunteered. I volunteer you with love to read. So I do need the microphone for him, wherever it's at. And Brother Bob, would you please read us Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21.
"And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into their own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made it known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
Thank you. You know, this is a beautiful story, a beautiful reading, and poetically written, and something that we read this time of year. Part of this beautiful backstory, part of this beautiful purpose of Christ. And one of these things I want to draw your mind to is I want you to remember that even as he was being born, even in those days, that the Lord was sending angels and all of these to tell people of him. There is a gift coming. Imagine what it must have been like to be there, and all of a sudden angels come and they are singing and doing whatever it is, you know, to these shepherds. And my hope is, or at least my impression is that when they said, For unto you is born today in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, that clicked in their minds and they knew, we have been looking for this day. And as soon as this amazing event was there, they said, Let's leave everything and go. Let's leave everything and go. There is nothing greater. I don't care about our sheep or anything like that. Let's go and see the salvation of all mankind. This story gets even more beautiful. I'm going to read this. But you know, there were people whose only purpose in life was to declare Jesus Christ. And when he came, their life's purpose was over. That's beautiful. Think about how beautiful that is. That they were told, let's just read it here. I'm going to read 22 through 38. the continuing on from where Brother Bob left off. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to that which was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for the relief, waiting for the deliverance of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. I want to stop there for a second. The Spirit of the Lord called to him and said, Simeon, now is the time. Get up, get dressed, get clean. It's time. Your purpose in life is about to be complete because the Savior is here. And when the parents brought him to the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she coming at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. These two, you know, Simeon was told, you're going to live however long it takes until Jesus Christ comes. You will see him and you will bless him. And what more is there after that? After you've taken part of this gift, what more is there? And Anna, this prophetess, who was there, and you know, by the word prophetess, my assumption is that she was one who encouraged and spoke to the people and called them up higher and did all of this. And it says that however old she was, she had been married for 7 years, then her husband died, and since then, for if my math is right, 84 years, she was waiting for that day when this perfect, precious gift would come. What a beautiful backstory. Beautiful. Your Savior came, he taught, he loved, he healed, he connected with mankind. He had interactions with people who could do nothing else but write it down and then spend the rest of their life talking about it, talking about this gift. Not only was Jesus this great friend and companion, but he showed them a better way. He helped them to understand how to live life to the spiritual fullest, and how to have hope for eternity. And all of these people who had these interactions with him, they couldn't stop themselves from sharing this best gift. I want to tell everyone about it. And Peter, here we read in 2 Peter, in the first chapter, Second Peter in the first chapter, he's talking to the church. And he's understanding that his days are drawing to a close. And he, you know, I think about this similarly as I think about my grandfather. Before his days are over, he wants to make sure everybody knows the experiences he's had, what he believes, and why, as a possessor of the beautiful gift of Jesus Christ. And this is what's on Peter's heart, that same thing. And so he tells the people here, starting in verse 12, he says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. He said, I am never going to miss out on an opportunity to tell you about these things that I've experienced, even though you already know them. I'm going to be a witness, tell you of Jesus Christ, this perfect gift. Yeah, I think it's meet. I think it's the right thing to do. As long as I am in this tabernacle, as long as I'm alive, I think it's meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that I shortly must put off this, my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. He says, so I'm going to tell you again, even though you know it, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to, because I know that shortly I am not going to be anymore. My words will continue on. Moreover, I will endeavor that you will be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is a private interpretation, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So he says a lot in this. But he says, I don't want you to forget. I have experienced the gift of Jesus Christ, the best, the perfect, the most full, promised for ages as the Lord spoke to holy men and said, look forward to a Savior, forgiveness of sins, a path that you should walk. He said, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to declare it, this most beautiful thing. Well, there's a few things that you need to know about this gift of a Savior. So a couple of things that you need to know. If you, tomorrow, when you open some of these gifts, there's probably going to be, you're going to have a backstory. There's going to be an instruction manual. And there may be some things that it says, I want you, you know, that whoever made it said, I want you to know this is how it's a benefit to you. This is how you can use it, and this is what matters. And so, I gave a couple of gifts to some people out here. And whoever's got an envelope there, a gift that's all wrapped up in the elf thing with a number one on the corner. I numbered them. I think Eric has got it. Feel free to try to open it. I tried to do a really good job of wrapping that. You know, it's not easy to wrap an envelope. I remember as a kid in Sunday school with Pat McCann, and we wrapped Christmas presents. And I remember as a kid that I was so impressed at how precisely she wrapped a Christmas present. And I don't know if that's still something there or it was just the memory of a kid, but I remember that to this day. I remember how precisely she wrapped a Christmas present. I don't remember how to do it, though. So those of you who get to be a participant here, yep, still Taryn, there you go. And so Eric is going to need a microphone. And she's going to go ahead and read this here.
Here are some things to keep in mind as you experience your very own Savior. Your very own Savior is perfect. The things he does, says, and teaches are right, honest, and true, and will lead you to fulfilled life, and without him, your life will be unfulfilled. 2 Nephi 11:53-59. And the words which I have spoken shall stand as a testimony against you, for they are sufficient to teach any man the right way. For the right way is to believe in Christ and deny him not. For by denying him, ye also deny the prophets and the law. And now behold, I say unto you that the right way is to believe in Christ and deny him not. And Christ is the Holy One of Israel. Wherefore, ye must bow down before him and worship him with all your might, mind, and strength, and your whole soul. And if ye do this, ye shall in no wise be cast out. And inasmuch as it shall be expedient, ye must keep the performances and ordinances of God until the law shall be fulfilled, which was given unto Moses. And after that Christ shall have risen from the dead, he shall shew himself unto you, my children, and my beloved brethren. And the words which he shall speak unto you shall be the law which ye shall do.
And so we see here in this one reading, and I have a couple more that I'm going to read, But in this one reading, this is this thing that was told in this same portion that we read before, where Nephi was, he shared with the people that there is going to be a Savior to come. And he is needful, and here's why. And then he goes on and he shares what our sister just read. The way that he lives, the things that he asks you to do, they are right. They will lead you to eternal life. Allow yourself to be changed and moved and guided. This is one of these things that is important as you consider this gift of Jesus Christ for you. I'm going to read in Mormon chapter 1, verses 56 and 57, and this is not a happy two verses. It says, "Nevertheless, the strength of the Lord was not with us. We were left to ourselves. The Spirit of the Lord did not abide with us. Therefore, we became weak like unto our brethren. My heart did sorrow because of this great calamity of my people, because of their wickedness and their abominations." And so, you know, when you are not availing yourself of this gift of Jesus Christ and living and being led in his path, there is an emptiness that comes. An emptiness that comes. And I'm going to read here John chapter 14, verse 21. And then we're going to go ahead and move forward here. Christ says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them is he that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." It says, my words, if you care for me, if you have recognized the value in Jesus Christ, as those words, following, allowing God's word to change you and how you think and speak and act and interact, shows this love. And it says the Father, God the Father, will love you. And it says that Christ himself is going to manifest, show himself to you, be present there with you. So it's very important. Who has gift number two? All right, Jennifer, you guys came into town, didn't realize you both were going to get to be a part of our service today. And I appreciate it. The second thing important for you to remember is that your gift of a Savior is a guide. I didn't try to tape them too much, but I did lick the seal on the envelope, so... So I can't help it. You can't put something in an envelope and not lick the seal. It doesn't taste good, but it's like you can't do it. You can't not do it. It tastes really gross. The other two who have theirs, you can go ahead and start pre-opening if you'd like. Do we make it through? Almost. So this is the second thing of four that I want you to remember here. And our sister Jennifer is going to go ahead and read two different things here for us.
Here are some things to keep in mind as you experience your very own Savior. Your very own Savior sets a perfect example for you. 3 Nephi 13:5. You have it. "Therefore, what manner of men had ye ought be? Verily I say unto you, even as I am, and now I go unto the Father." John 13:13-17. "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them."
A beautiful scripture here in this recounting of Jesus washing these disciples' nasty, gross, disgusting feet. And we know all the things that happened there, but he makes this statement and says, if I'm doing it, you ought to do it. And if you pay attention to what I say and what I do in my example, and you do it, you're going to see that life is not about you. It's about giving. Tomorrow, you know, as kids and everything, we look forward to the receiving But really, the best joy is in the giving, isn't it? The best joy is in the giving. This act and what Christ said, there's the true joy comes in being of good service to others. And so this is the guide that our Savior is. Who's got the next one? I think it's you, Gordon. We got a microphone for you. We'll just give you the hand, Mike.
Here are some things to keep in mind as you experience your own Savior. Your very own Savior also acts as an intermediary and advocate between you and the Father, giving the gift of his abiding Spirit, John 14:16-18. And I will pray the Father and shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. 1 John 2:1-2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
You know, this is these beautiful promises that we read, that we know, that we rely upon. The Lord gives the gifts of his Spirit to interact with us, to lead us, direct us, even as we saw with Simeon. This scripture that Gordon just read talks about Christ being our advocate, one who stands up for and speaks for us. And I have this thought that I recognize that sometime, hopefully many years from now, but sometime I'm not going to be here. I'll lay down this life. And I believe the scriptures which say that I'm going to go and stand before the Father, and I will have an advocate there with me of Jesus Christ. And I hope that I know him that day. It's not the first time that I walked up and shook his hand and he says, I'm here to speak for you, but that I know him, but that I'm aware of him, that I've considered him, that this gift was not something that was given in vain or that sat in a shelf, but that Christ was working and moving in my life, that when that day comes, he is not a stranger to me as we stand together. But that I've accepted of and been blessed by this gift. This last one to remember is that the scars make this gift complete. I think Aaron's got our last reading here.
Here are some things to keep in mind as you experience your very own Savior. Your very own Savior is broken, tarnished by your sin, yet more beautiful and perfect because of this. Isaiah 53:1-12. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
There's a beautiful scripture. I think it's in the book of Zechariah. And it's talking as Christ is making this statement. And essentially he says, how could I possibly forget you? You are engraven upon my hands. The scars make this gift complete and full and perfect. And this gift of Jesus Christ, we've said it over and over again. The whole world is going to say it, has said it throughout this month. I guess not the whole world, but plenty of people. They'll say it tomorrow, and yet how many truly consider that Jesus Christ came, lived, set an example, died, rose again, tarnished because of our sin, that we could stand before the Father, having been forgiven, having been perfected, and he will forever be scarred. And that's what makes this gift complete. A gift is something that's unexpected. And think about it, you know, and a gift, one of the things that makes a gift awesome is when you open it and you know, you think, I never thought that you would think of me like this. Never thought of it. I had this really cool gift that one of the guys who works on the ambulance at my station did. So I'm going to be starting paramedic school here this next month. And it's accelerated, which means it's going to be pretty miserable. And within the fire service, if you say you're going to go to medic school, everybody will tell you don't do it. Don't do it. You don't want to do it. It's the worst year of your life, all that sort of stuff. I don't anticipate it's going to be, but I know it's going to be difficult. Anyway, there, I told you I came into my room at work and there was all these things on my bed. And I opened one of them up and it was a blanket, which is not unusual because when we sit in the day room at the end of the day and crash out on our Barca loungers, one of the guys keeps our station at a very economical 68 degrees. And so I typically will go in there with my whoopee. And so I got a blanket there and I unwrapped this blanket and this guy, Justin, he says, hey, I actually thought about that quite a bit. He says that blanket is infused with the smell of cedar. And it's pretty good. And he says, it's supposed to be calming. He says, because in 4 months, you're going to be cuddled up in a corner wondering what you were doing. And I hope you cover up with this blanket and you be calmed. You know, he was thinking something for me. I never thought you'd think of me like this. A gift is something unexpected. A gift is something that is undeserved. You know, we give these gifts and sometimes it's something of great expense. You did something. I can't believe that you saved for that long for me. Or something that took a great amount of time to make or to search for or intricate in planning or whatever it was. A true gift is something that is undeserved. I have another note here, undeserved being that, well, as you consider it, you haven't acted in a consistent manner that's worthy of a gift like that. But that's what a true gift is. And that's what Christ is. Gift is something that brings happiness. This initial smiling of your face and this joy. Oh, it's amazing. And something that's lasting joy. Something that continues. Something that every time you pick it up and you use it, you think, oh, that was such a good gift. Man, that's something that wasn't just for the time. I didn't grow out of it. I didn't wear it out. I didn't overuse it, whatever. It continues to be good. Years and years and years ago, 20 years ago, maybe more than that, I was working in an emergency room, and I got a gift. It was a gift in that what I got was so incredibly discounted. There was no way that I could fathom not buying it. And it has been one of the most useful things I've had. And it's a hatchet that's about this big. And it's some Swedish hatchet, something like that. It was supposed to be back then very expensive. This guy I worked with was able to get them for next to nothing. And I have more with that hatchet. I've got stitches because of that hatchet. Chase was with me. I've hacked up all sorts of stuff. It's been this gift. And it stays behind the seat in my truck. And it goes with me when I go hunting or anywhere like that. It's this gift. It's this thing that has lasting use. Always. Always. This is Jesus Christ. This is why we give gifts at Christmas. The scriptures are full of things we do with symbolism. We're not actually drinking blood and eating flesh when we take the sacrament. The symbol is to cause us to remember. You're not actually dying when you go into the waters of baptism. It's not dirt that goes over you, it's water. It's not lit, it's a symbol. And I'm not going to say anything to ruin any parents' things they do with their children, but I will never give credit of a gift to an inanimate fable. The reason why is because I give it in the same manner as God the Father gave His Son. It was costly to the Father to watch His Son go through what He did. It was unpleasant. He caused the world to suffer turmoil because of what happened to His Son. And He wants to make sure we understand why that gift was given. And so when I give a gift, I don't do it because I say, well, look what I've done. Look what the Lord has allowed me to do. My life is blessed. I can do this. And I'm doing this because God the Father gave me a gift. And I wish to be like that. This is important. A gift, this gift of Jesus Christ, it doesn't wear out or become useless. Your bond grows stronger the more you take time to experience Jesus. Your life is going to change by the way He speaks to your heart. And you will find a desire to share this gift with everyone, and will tell anyone who will listen. She's not here today. I assume she's probably listening, so she's not going to get upset with me for saying it, but I want to embarrass our sister Kim Yates real quick. I have never, since I've become an adult, had a conversation with our sister Kim where eventually we didn't talk about Christ. Never. Talk about all sorts of stuff, but eventually it's going to come around there. And many others as well. Why? Because this gift, the more we use, the more we learn of, the more we consider, the more we put the Word of God, Christ's Word, to use, and we see that our life is changed and we grow in contentment and happiness. You know, we see challenges in life, and yet we find this lasting comfort and deliverance and all of that in Jesus Christ. When we consider the brokenness of our Savior, we want to tell other people about this precious gift. I stood up here 11 months ago, beginning of the year, and I told you in that very first January sermon I preached, this year's over. And everybody laughed at me. And that's okay, I'm used to it, but this year is over. Another one gone. And I want to just talk for just a quick moment how I feel like we have truly been blessed this year with gifts from God. We have been blessed this year with new babies. Beautiful blessings. Not only here in this local, but from those who have moved to strengthen other locals, we've joyed in it. We've joyed in the growing of families. We've been able to see people become married. Engagements announced. We have received and seen people have new jobs, new opportunities, life beginning. We have joined together in mighty prayer for needs of others, whether it was physical or spiritual or all sorts of different things that people struggle with, and we've watched the Lord work and move. We have been able to have fellowship one with another. We have had beautiful services. We've had amazing sacrament services and testimonies shared. I enjoyed so much the service we had at Wanda's care home on Wednesday night. And if you weren't able to be there, I'm sorry that you weren't. I understand. It was wonderful. That small house was ringing with the sounds of us singing, and it was beautiful. And the gift that we've been given of being able to gather and to be together, and some of us to be able to sing, and some of you to not be able to sing, but to be there and to pour out your hearts and to try, we gave a gift to others. We have seen that there's all sorts of troubles and uncertainties in this world, and yet we haven't felt that here. We've been blessed and protected. We've received the gift of God. We've been able, our brothers have been able to go and visit in foreign lands, places where there hadn't been opportunities, where there was concerns and fears, and yet they've been able to go and strengthen others and able to share the gift of Jesus Christ and to renew and strengthen their brothers and sisters. We've been blessed with this year. We continue to receive the gifts of the Lord and the outpouring of His love. And this is part of this beautiful gift of Christmas. Jesus Christ, the most perfect gift. And so God bless you each. And tomorrow, as you get together and you open everything up, take a moment to remember why we do it. I give a gift because I was given a gift. Perfect and precious, and I don't need anything else. So God bless you each.
Excuse me.